Fork Tales, a podcast that feeds the food and beverage world. Fork Tales is brought to you by Pavone Group and Vigor, a branding and marketing agency for restaurant, beverage, and hospitality brands. Learn more at vigorbranding.com. If you love what we're serving up, please give Fork Tales a 5-star review on your podcast service of choice. Think of it as a tip for good service.
We're a very sales-driven company, so we have to, which every company should be, and it still absolutely amazes me how many companies do not operate that way. But when I say that, we really go down to what does our customer need and want. So you go to the Asian trade, you see those Peking ducks hanging, the beautiful Peking ducks hanging in 9th Street in Philadelphia. You need to make sure that that skin is perfect every single time. So we have to pretty much start focusing on that from the minute that that duck is harvested to feather removal, to how that duck is weighed, and then how is it treated after it's USDA down to packaging. And really, that's because if you have that nick in the skin, a cut in it, too many feathers, no one's going to want to buy that duck hanging in the window. So we need to make sure our stuff is perfect from literally from the second that it is hatched all the way down to it's put in a bag or into the box.
The gaps are narrowing. You know, plant-based yogurt prices have been generally coming closer to dairy-based yogurt pricing. Nutritional profiles are getting better. You know, the texture and taste and all those things are just, it's on a continuous improvement, and it continues to get better.
And what I'm seeing, you know, Mexican food is very, very sexy right now. Yep. Obviously, everybody and their mother knows that, you know, Siete was sold for, you know, quadrillion dollars. You know, there is a push to healthier Mexican food, you know, high protein. I would say the only bad news in Mexican food, I think Tex-Mex is kind of dying out. I see some of the Tex-Mex restaurant chains kind of shutting down. I think that's become kind of passe. But I'm happy. I love being in Mexican food.
We could go both ways with that, right? You could really spice it up. And again, sure, generationally, nowadays, spice is much more accepted. But when we started the business, it wasn't, right? And people always have that mindset that Indian food is spicy. So we really, the education piece was really important to me.
But I get a lot of energy from the just hospitality side of it too. So like if I'm having a really rough time at work, which, you know, happens time to time, right? When you're an entrepreneur, all the time. But, you know, I'll go into the stores and just do table touches and talk to people. I mean, I still get a lot of energy from, you know, the fact that we have created these places that are the, you know, backdrops for people's lives, right? I mean, this is where their memories are created, where they celebrate things. And that to me is still something that I really cherish and get a lot of energy from.
Yeah, you learn about people. I mean, so our restaurant was located in Detroit, in the inner city, in the red light district, the bad part of Detroit.
Yeah.
If you can understand, that's the bad part about Detroit. But, you know, like the city, it was like divided. So like during the day, we'd have all these white collar professionals who came from downtown or came from the medical center. But in the evening, we'd get the local, you know, pimps, prostitutes, drug dealers. So I got a really front row advantage to see the whole city, everybody from the mayor, right, to Oscar-winning actors that would come in, you know, to the Jewish family that came every Sunday. It's like, you know, you really, really got to see the whole city of Detroit, you know. And the idea of serving people and working in food service, I mean, that's just, I feel like it's just the greatest upbringing. I mean, because it really teaches you how to be, a better person, I guess.
Yeah. What advice do you have for, like, chefs or home cooks who are or intimidated by making it?
Don't try too hard. It's simpler the better from the ingredients that you use, that duck. And I mean, you could say this to for a lot of proteins or meats out there, is simpler the better on everything. It's natural flavor and enjoy it. You have to experiment and try it.
I think I ultimately arrived at, like, you know, I feel like my purpose is to make my hometown a better place to live. I just think that's what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And that clarity really helps, you know, I think, give direction and meaning to some of these things that I do that, you know, aren't as profitable as building 200 of one single concept, right?
I mean, sure.
But see, you know, mentally for me, it's figuring out, you know, like, okay, what am I, you know, how does this, whatever we're going to build, how does that tie into what I actually think what I should be spending my time on?
So you test a lot of recipes and dishes, I'm sure, as part of your R&D. Who in your family, like who's got this final say? Is it you that has the final say? I want a picture of grandma somewhere that says, no, this isn't good.
My mom's very involved. Obviously, Chef Harry's involved, but my mom is not. At the end of the day, she doesn't, like, you joke the grandma thing. It's like, you know, she doesn't have a selfish bone in her body. Like, you know, like it's all about wanting success for the family business. It's not like she's thinking anything in general, right?
Right.
So she will clearly give you the feedback, whether it's good or bad, right? And sometimes I have to, like, be, but mom, like, this, or but mom and that, like, you know, I joke about it. It was on a podcast last week. I said the same thing, but like, my mom would have it. If she could, she'd have us squeezing lemons for all the rather than buying pre-made lemon juice. Right. And like, it had to get to a stage. Okay. So we have to have this conversation, mom. We can't do that.
Yeah.
I wanted to have fun with this book. Right. So in addition to laying it out like a menu, the opening line is welcome to Chung's. You know, is for here to go. So that's what my dad would say to anybody that came in. And that's sort of the theme of the book, for here to go. Do I stay in Detroit or do I leave? You know, so I brought in that metaphor. And the last line in the book is, thank you, come again. Right? Because I really want the reader to read the book as if it's they're going into a Chinese restaurant and having a meal. And so that's why some of the stories are sweet, some are savory, some are salty, some are spicy. You get all these different flavors.
I'm not the future consumer, you know, necessarily, right? Like, I look at people like my son. Like, my son, you know, I always remember, I'll tell you a quick story. I went into a coffee shop to meet an investor in Seattle. And it was probably about 9 a.m. And this place was bustling. I mean, packed. And, you know, looked around the room real quickly. And I was the oldest guy in that room by 20 years, at least 20 years. And I went to the barista, you know, he's all tattooed up with earrings. And I get a coffee and I like a coffee with a little bit of half and half, whatever. So I get a coffee, a little bit of room in there. I go over to the half and half station. And there's literally nine of those stainless steel canisters. And I pick up the first one, hemp, oat, cashew, almond. I go through all nine. No half and half, no dairy half and half. And I like oat creamer or dairy half and half. Kind of depends on the morning and my
right,
mood.
Right.
And that morning I felt like dairy half and half. So I walk over to the barista. I said, hey, you guys happen to have any dairy half and half? And he looks at me and he looks over and he goes, huh, you're the first one to ask for that today. And he hands me the canister from the fridge. And that's where I think this is going.
You can be a small company and still be very successful, very profitable, and just live a good life, man. You know, I always run into these entrepreneurs and like, oh, I want to be $100 million company. And you ask them, why do you want to be $100 million? It's like, well, everybody wants to be $100 million. Like, that's the natural order of things. And I'm just
right.
I'm like, bro, just be a $20 million company, have plenty of work-life balance, be super profitable, you know, take your vacations and make it last, you know? So that's what we're focused on right now.